laughter and levity, exactly what you said, it creates a carefree attitude where I'm able to shield myself from facing up to the reality of the fact that I really shouldn't be doing this. What stops me from facing the seriousness of the crime? Quickly make a couple of jokes, laugh about it. It creates the environment where nobody's going to be serious, right? In such an environment, that can lead to immorality. So comes along the halacha. The halacha says all these things are prohibited with women because all these things can lead to immorality. Obviously, I'm sorry, go on.
Sure.
Even in a group. Again, I would say you have to remember the society you come from and the family members. A certain amount of normalcy is expected. Right, you're allowed to be a normal person. On the other hand, it should not cross a certain line, because if it crosses a certain line, that could easily break down the natural barriers.
You've
got to know what your intentions are. Very often, you can create your own intentions with your behavior. That's why it's very important for you to make sure to keep a harness on it. I can tell you that in our society, as extreme as it seems. Very often we will refer to people living in the same building, right? My next door neighbor, right? We refer to each other, I refer to her as Mrs. So-and-so. I do not call her by her first name. She does not call me by my first name, right? We've only been living in the same building next to each other for the last 10 years, 12 years, right? Yet I call her Mrs. So-and-so. It maintains some type of fence between us, right? And that's exactly what the Torah wants. You could, let's qualify this. If you have a woman, I think Scott, you once asked me when I told you to ask my wife a certain question, if you don't believe me, right? You said to me, you mean we can talk to her? Right? Remember that was your reaction. You mean we're allowed to talk to her? The answer is yes, you are allowed to talk to her, right? Yeah, she'll talk to you, right? Yeah. But you are allowed to talk to women. Doesn't say you're not allowed to talk to women, but it has to be done. Certainly if you're at somebody's home on Shabbat, right? We are not Hasidim, right? Among Hasidim, and I respect them for it, that's the environment that they've created and the environment that they live in, and I have a certain sneaking admiration for them. By them, everything is very separate. Among certain Hasidim, the women eat in a different room than the men, right? And that prevents all sorts of troubles, right? Litvaks, Litvish Jews. I think just on Shabbos, right? Because just on Shabbos is when they have the guests, right? But among Litvish Jews, the non-Hasidic Jews, the custom is that when we all eat at the same table. On the other hand,
those acts of separation are specifically for the purpose of preventing the real transgressions. So neither of you at the end of your lives have actually transgressed, then he's no better. He's not done in this.
That's correct. But the question is, where am I going to? What enhances my chances of not transgressing? Remember, transgressing includes looking at a woman and getting any pleasure at all. Right? If you look at a woman and you say, "Hey, that was fun," right? That's a prohibition. Right? If you look at a woman and you think to yourself, "Hey, she's attractive," right there, you transgress. Now, the first look is not a transgression. The first look is not a transgression, right? Because the first look, you know, you're walking along like this, and all of a sudden, you know, she popped out in front of you. Right? So you got to look, right? That's not a transgression. The transgression is to continue, right? At that point, your obligation becomes to look away. The Gemara says that even if a person is full of eyes, it's the expression of the Gemara, even if a person is full of eyes, the Gemara talks about the angel of death. The Gemara says the angel of death has eyes everywhere. Right? Then the Gemara says, even if a person is full of eyes, like the angel of death, you got eyes in the back of your head, you still must not look at what's prohibited. The comments explain that means even if you're in a situation where you're thinking to yourself, this is impossible, what am I going to do? There are women all over the place. You still have an obligation to do the best you can. Best you can means you got to try real, real, real hard. Right? Exactly. You got to try not to look, right? There's no coincidence that the Gemara associates this with the angel of death, by the way, right? It's interesting. The Gemara talks about it in connection with the angel of death. Again, you have to be, don't be too harsh on yourselves. On the other hand, don't be too lenient on yourself. It's the type of thing, like Lashon Hara, or like controlling your thoughts, like any other, it's something that takes control, and you have ups and downs. It's a question of practicing, and you have ups and downs, right? You have to practice and try to work on constantly improving one side. That's there's no other way. And that's one of the reasons why in this society, any type of social contact is completely and utterly discouraged. Yeah?
Is there a difference between married women and men, or non-married women and men?
The Gemara says,
more serious.
The Gemara says a man is not allowed to look at a woman if she's attractive, and a married woman even if she's unattractive. Right.
So I've been to like religious families and find the married women, they don't mind, they'll talk to you and look at you, but it's their daughters that will like hide and or try not to say anything at all, like anything.
Okay, that's because the daughter, right, because the married woman doesn't expect that you're going to be, you know, there's no any type of relationship with the belt. I told you, you can be normal and you can talk. This is what the halakha says. Everybody has to apply. Some people take these halakhas very lightly. I don't know what their basis is for taking it lightly. Some people say, come on, it's not the right type of world we live in. Well, I hope God agrees with them after 120 years, right, you know, but in the meantime, that's what the halakha says. And the halakha says these are prohibitions. The person has to safeguard himself as much as possible in these areas. Question. Any other questions?
The specific mitzvah. The mitzvah itself says you can't derive pleasure from looking. Do we get to that mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah? You said a specific transgression. Is it not a mitzvah?
The mitzvah itself is specifically the mitzvah of not involving oneself in immorality. And the Shulchan Aruch expounds on this based on the oral tradition, which is the Talmud. The Shulchan Aruch expounds on this and is brought down in halacha that one is not allowed to engage in the following activities with women.
Looking at them
for pleasure. It doesn't say not to look at them for pleasure. Right? The Gemara says that if a person goes into a store...
Well, maybe there's a difference between purposefully looking at someone for pleasure and deriving pleasure from looking at
them. There's a difference. One is intentional, one is unintentional. Right? Both need atonement. But yes, one is intentional, one is unintentional. There's a difference. You're right. The Gemara says that if a person goes into a store and he gives money to the cashier in the store, for the intent of looking even at her pinky for pleasure, he gives her money, he hands her money in order that she should stick out her hand and he gets a better look at her fingers in order to gain pleasure. The Gemara says, even if he is on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, he will not escape the fires of Gehenna. That's what the Gemara says.
What does that mean? Is this a very serious thing?
That's what the Gemara is trying to say. Yes, the Gemara is trying to say that. Yes, the Gemara is right now. The idea. Remember, tshuva always helps. Tshuva always helps. So, first, I think. Oh, a second. Oh, Scott, the bottom line is the person has to try. I think that the most important thing here is not becoming neurotic about every time we walk out on the street, walking around with a blinder. I think the main thing to emphasize here for us: what should we be working on? What we should be working on is trying to avoid those places which are most conducive to this type of behavior. Right, that's what the halacha is. Or if you're a normal person, you could talk to women without ogling. Right, you know, you should be able to talk to, you know, say, hi, how are you, without, you know. Okay. That's 188. Yes.
One last question. Is there something about... If you're unmarried, you may look at her because you might want to marry them?
Yeah, but you're not going to want to marry a married woman. That's first of all. Second of all, if there's a woman in Me'ah Shorim, you're not allowed to look at, you know, you may want to marry her, but I don't know if she's going to want to marry you, right? So it's got to be realistic. And say, yes, there's a woman I'd like to marry.
I don't look at women that want to marry me.
Why should you be able to look? It doesn't say you're like everything else.
I'm not saying I'm just like not, you know, I'm exempted from this rule until I'm married, but
like everything else in this halacha, it says what the Gemara says is that a man must see a woman before he marries her. It doesn't say that you have a right to go around looking at women because you might want to marry one of them, right? It said that when you finally meet a woman, then you have to look at her because you have to see her before you marry her, right?
So
we have to be realistic. Let's go on. Yeah.
If you're going to get a reward, they're saying for every moment you don't sin, like every moment you're not saying something, you're getting a reward.
Right.
Well, if, for example, you're in this room, it's impossible to look at women. Are you getting a reward?
Good
even
question.
You can't do it. I mean,
that's a very good. That's a very good question. First of all, I told you. And by the same token, are you getting a reward for not murdering right now? Are you getting a reward for not drinking blood right now? Are you getting a reward for not?
I can't look at a woman now, for example.
Are you getting a reward for not stealing right now? Are you getting a reward for not eating insects right now? There are a lot of prohibitions in the Torah. Are you getting that reward right now? So that is, there is one opinion that says yes. There is an opinion that says yes for every moment that you're not engaged in all the negative prohibitions, you're constantly getting rewarded for them. The standard, the accepted opinion is that you only get rewarded when you have an opportunity to do something and you overcome yourself. Right? At the moment that you have the opportunity to do something and you overcome yourself, at that point you get rewarded. If you want to speak Lashon Hara and you avoid speaking Lashon Hara, then at that moment you are rewarded, which means at every moment, because at every moment we'd love to speak Lashon Hara. So at that moment you are being rewarded for not engaging in Lashon Hara. Yeah.
So make a conscious decision to come to Yeshiva where there's not going to be any girls.
If it's a question of should I go to university or should I go to yeshiva, and you make a conscious decision to go to yeshiva, the part of your reward will be what you gain by coming to yeshiva just in avoiding, right? So you're, even if you don't go to any of the classes in yeshiva, you'll still get massive reward for having avoided that situation, right? Remember, we always emphasize the negative, but the truth is that in the positive, you're even greater, right? That a person who overcomes, a person who stops looking at something that he should want it to look at, and he overcomes the desire to look at it, the person who controls his eyes, the Gemara says, he will merit to see the divine presence of God. Right? He will zocha mekabel pnei Hashchina. He will greet the divine presence. That means he's at a very, very high level. Even one time that you do it. Right? It can be one time with one woman that there's a woman and you say, no, I'm not going to look, and then you look anyway. But for those few moments that he said, I'm not going to look, that you can trust him, you get rewarded. The reward, God's reasonable. Not only reasonable, he's more generous on the side of good than he is on the side of bad. Right? The reward far outweighs the punishment. So for one moment that a person overcomes his yetzer hara, simply because God said don't do it, at that point he's tzaddik. And that's a kiddush Hashem, by the way. It's a sanctification of God's name. Right? You're only doing it. There's only one reason you're not looking. There's only one fathomable reason you're not looking. It's because you want to serve God. That means you're at a very high level for one moment of not looking. Try it sometime. For one moment of not looking. Right?
What about getting a reward for mitzvahs like in a temple? The prohibitions, like they say, you mustn't spill to something outside of the Avodah. So right now you're not doing any of this. Okay? You're not stuttering anything. Okay. So the fact that you're not doing it outside of that area, you're getting reward for that.
Yeah, probably at the time that you actually bring a sacrifice. If when you're bringing a sacrifice, you do not sacrifice outside, then you probably get rewarded for that one, because that's when the opportunity is. The Gemara says that there was a man named Rabbi Amram. Right, Rabbi Amram, the Gemara says there's a man named Rabbi Amram, and this Rabbi Amram was one of the Tanoim. And there were some Jewish women that had been captured. All through history, non-Jews were kidnappings, and Jews were being kidnapped, and they came to this town, and the non-Jews had these Jewish female captives who were up for ransom. So this man, Rabbi Amram, was the leading sage in the town. He ransomed the captives, these women, and he put them up in his loft. The homes used to have lofts. He put them up in the loft, and they moved the stairs away from the loft, right? Because they were going to spend the night in his home. Right? So in order to stop any type of shenanigans, they moved the stairs away from the loft, right? Now, Rabbi Amram was downstairs. You're talking about a major Torah scholar. Rabbi Amram was downstairs. And as he was walking around downstairs, a ray of light, one of the women upstairs was passing by the opening of the loft. And just then, the light came in and it revealed her, right? So Rabbi Amram caught a glimpse of her, right? Apparently she was very beautiful. The Gemara says he went over and he took the stairs, this ladder, which normally takes 10 people to move it. Rabbi Amram moved it by himself. And he started heading up the steps. That's what the Gemara says. He started heading up the steps of the ladder. And halfway up, the Gemara says, he suddenly started screaming, fire, fire, fire. Right? So his disciples, who were living very nearby, they all came running into the house. And they didn't see any fire. All they see is Rabbi Amram up on the ladder. Right? And they said to him, well, you've made us look bad. Right? What did you do? You called fire and you made us look bad. You made fools out of us. Rabbi Amram said, better you should look bad in this world then I should do the Avera, and the world to come, you look really bad, seeing where I end up, right? Meaning that in this area, the Yetzer Hara is so strong that a person, there are never enough safeguards against the Yetzer Hara in this area.